Good morning. Today's Avraham Khan Chaf Hey. We're on Chaf Dalmud Beis. We're at the very bottom. We're starting with the Mishnah today. The Mishnah is going to give us halacha, but after that point in time, that's going to represent mostly the end of our halachic discussion today. There's going to be a lot of agadot over the course of today and tomorrow. Meantime, let's get underway. We already learned earlier in the Masechta that on Chol HaMoed, so obviously there is going to be an allowance for Kvura on Chol HaMoed, on Yontif itself. We already discussed numerous times. That Kfura is allowed to certain degrees and under certain conditions, Kfura is allowed in Yantav as well. The Gemara and Beitza discussed that in detail in Daf Vav, but on Chol HaMoed, so you bury. So what about the Avelos? So the Avelos does not begin. The Avelos does not start until after Chol HaMoed, as we have already discussed numerous times. But meanwhile, there is a burial that took place, and they're going to be Avelim. Now, the Avelim don't start their Avelos, but nevertheless, there is going to be Avelim. So what we're going to be discussing now in this Mishnah, this really short Mishnah, is just simply a protocol in which the Avelim are going to conduct themselves on Chol HaMoed, meaning we're talking now at the funeral during Chol HaMoed. So Ein Karin. So the Mishnah says that they're not going to do Kriya. Kriya is not going to be done at that point in time. It is Chol HaMoed, and so out of respect for Chol HaMoed, so Kriya is not going to be done. Velo Chaltzin. In addition to that, you're not going to bear the shoulder. Bearing the shoulder is something which we already discussed before. It's a practice that's done under certain circumstances. And again, nowadays it's not done at all. But again, because of Chol HaMoed, so you're not going to do that as well. Ein Mavrin. So Ella Lekrov of Shalmeis. Now, as far as Havra is concerned, so Havra, I think this is the first time we're bringing it up in this parak. The Suda Havra is basically the first meal when they come home from the cemetery after having buried. So there is a ancient minug, which is that you feed the avelim. So this is what's called Suda Havra. The word Havra from the word bari, which means healthy. Basically, you're reviving them, you're resuscitating them. It's right in the it's a modern term, but it's basically that's the idea. Is it's comfort food, right? To borrow a modern term to describe something that of days gone by. So and you comfort them with food. So this is what's referred to as Sudas Havra. So and it's specifically a reference to the first meal, right? Minag, which is a more contemporary minag, is that you give them food over the course of the entire duration of Avelos. But in terms of the actual minag that's being described over here, it's a reference to the first meal after having come home. So this is the Sudas Havra. So Ein Mavrim Ela Lekrov of Shalmeis. So the only people that are going to be enjoying the Suda Savra are only going to be the actual Krovim. In other words, so for the Suda Savra, so it will be offered to them, but only them and nobody else. The Ein Mavrim Ela Almita Zekufa. And
they also do Kriya.
This is, again, this is during Chol HaMoed, so
goes on all of them, on the Krovim.
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words,
not somebody else, but Krovim, they do.
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words, all the activities mentioned in the Mishnah are going to be done only by the Krovim. Okay, fine. Accept it. The Ein Mavrim Ela Amita Zekufa. And in terms of the Havra, so it's going to be over Amita Zekufa. During the rest of the year, so the Suda's Havra would be offered and ate on the floor or something proximate to the floor. But over here, once again, out of respect for Chol HaMoed, so the Havra, the Suda Havra, is only going to be done on Amita Zekufa, only on a bed that's turned upright. Again, it's Chol HaMoed, so it cannot be done in the normal Avelos fashion. So what we learn together in the Mishnah is that as far as burial on Chol HaMoed is concerned, so Kriya, Chalitza, Havra, so those are going to be limited and only be done by the Krovim, and nobody else can engage in any of these kinds of activities. So, v'afilu chacham, as we now turn to the top of Chaf Hamad Aleph and the Gemara's opening discussion, and that is, and even as it relates to a chacham, meaning the as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned, so the heter is only for the krovim. So the Gemara is bothered. So that when it comes to a chacham, v'atanya, we learned in a brisa, chacham shemesa kol karavav. So when a chacham dies, the tam chacham dies, so everyone becomes a relative. Now, kol karavav sakadatcha. So immediately the Gemara says you can't take that literally. Of course, that's not what it means. Ela akol ki karavav, akol karim alav. V'akol choltan alav, akol mavrin alav, berichava. So what it means is that when you have a tam chacham in the community who dies, So everyone becomes like a relative. Everyone's going to be doing kriya. Everyone's going to be bearing their shoulder. And everyone will participate in the havram. So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, that would be true, presumably even on Chol HaMoed as well. So, okay, I understand your question. It's a pragmatic issue. But just at least in principle, so the idea is that the expansion of relatives goes well beyond who is actually a blood relative. In other words, there, you could be well beyond the seven krovim, and you could be considered now somebody who is kikrovav. If our Mishnah is describing a Talmud Chacham, so why are we limiting the participants over here to just the Zayin Krovim? It should be including a lot more people. So the Gemara's response is, Lo Tzricha D'Lav Chacham Hu. Okay. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is talking about somebody who's not a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, okay, V'i Adam Kasher Hu, Chiyuv Mechayev L'Mikrei. So the Gemara says, okay, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham, if he's an Adam Kasher, now over here, I do not know the exact details or definitions of what we mean by an Adam Kasher, but it basically means somebody who's an upstanding citizen. I know my definition over here is much better than that of the Gemara in terms of helping us understand, but it basically somebody who's a good guy, somebody that they're ready to honor at the shul dinner. So he's an Adam Kasher. So Chayuva Mechayv LaMikre. So once again, the Gemara says everyone has to do Kriya D'Tanya. So here another Braisa. Mimnei Ma Banav Ovnosav Shaladam Meitzim Kishem Ketanim Kedeshiv Kavita Bal Adam Kasher. So the way the Braisa originally presents it, it's really difficult the way the Gemara, the Braisa originally presents itself. And I'll just translate it literally. Why is it that the children, sons and daughters of a person are going to be dying when they're young, when they're minors? Meaning, what's the reason behind it? Is so that kedeshi yivke v'yisabal adam kasher, so that the father will properly mourn somebody who's an adam kasher. So the Gemara says yivke v'yisabal arvonika shakol minez. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, it seems to be the total opposite. It's backwards. Meaning, what Akash Baruch Hu is going to be taking a collateral, right? Akash Baruch Hu is going to punish you so that later on. It's for failure for having done something correctly. Ela mimnei shelo b'chav yisabel adam kasher she'akol b'chol misabel adam kasher machol akol v'nasav b'shvil kavach asalo. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Braisa, although originally presented, is not to be understood in that manner, but rather just flip it around, reverse it, meaning it's an onish because the person didn't properly mourn an adam kasher died in the community. And when a person doesn't properly mourn and show the proper covet for an Adam Kasher, so as a result of that, so he's going to be punished. Now, the punishment obviously is harsh. He's going to be losing his young children. But the point is that when an Adam Kasher dies, so he needs to be properly mourned. Part of that is that people in the community have to do Kriya. So once again, we're at a little bit of a loss. We're a little bit confused. Our Mishnah over here is describing where somebody dies on Chol HaMoed, and the limitation is that only the Krovim are going to be doing Kriya. Only the direct relatives. The seven direct relatives are going to be doing Kriya. So once again, if it's a Talmud Chacham, everyone needs to be doing Kriya. Everyone needs to be involved in all aspects of Avils. Everyone's an Aval. If we're talking about an Adam Kasher, everyone also needs to do Kriya. So who's our Mishnah describing? So the Gemara says, okay, so the Gemara says, the Lav Adam Kasher who? All right, so here's what we're going to have to say. We're going to have to say that our Mishnah is talking about somebody who's not a Talmud Chacham. He's not even an Adam Kasher. So, Idikai has a Mishas Yitzias Neshama Chiyuv Mechayves. So the Gemara says, okay, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham, even if he's not an Adam Kasher, at Yitzias Neshama, if you were there at time of death, so you need to be doing Kriya. How do I know that? D'Tanya, that's also a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon and Lazar Omer HaOmed Al Hameis Mishas Yitzias Neshama Chayv Lekroa. So, if you're standing by the mace at the time of Yitzias Neshama, you have an obligation to do Kriya. Lamaz Zedome. It is similar to Sefer Torah Shenisraf. Shechayev Lekro. It's no different than a Sefer Torah being burnt. The correct response to the burning of a Sefer Torah is Kriya. So here also, the Neshama leaving the goof. So that is analogous. And so therefore you need to do Kriya. So at this point in time, we're also still confused in terms of a ruling of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says only the Krovim are going to be doing Kriya. If you were there at Yitzias Neshama, even though the person is not a Talmud Chacham, he's not an Adam Kasher, but if you were there at Yitzias Neshama, you have to do Kriya. So the Gemara says, the Lo Kai Hasa Mishas Yitzias Neshama. Again, so as you can imagine, the Gemara says, fine, so put that into the hopper as well. And the Mishnah is talking about where It's not a Talmud Chacham, it's not an Adam Kasher, and you were not there at the Yetzias Neshama, and that's why you do not need to do Kriya. Admittedly, it is a significant limitation in the Mishnah, but basically all this was a way to teach us some of the Hilchos Kriya, who needs to do Kriya over what loss and at what point in time. Ki nach nafshei de Rav Safra, the Gemara tells the following story. Rav Safra passes away, lo kar Rabban Aleha. So the Chachamim did not do Kriya. Amre. So lo gamrina mine. So as far as this group of Talmid Chachamim who did not do Kriya over the death of Rav Safra, so their argument is that we're not Talmidim. We didn't learn by him, so therefore we don't need to do Kriya. Amar lo Abaye. So Abaye says to this group of rabbis, mi tanya chacham shemes. So I'm sorry. Mi tanya harav shemes chacham shemes. So Abaye says we got let's go back. Let's learn this together and let's learn it carefully. It doesn't say that your Rebbe died. It says Tamach Chacham died. So Chacham Shemes and Tanya. That is the language of the Braisa. So therefore, it's very clear that doesn't have to be your Rebbe as long as it's a Tamach Chacham. So you do Kriya. V'od additional Kol Yom Shmaytita Bepum and Debe Medrasha. And in addition to that, you just go to the base message and what are you going to hear? You're going to hear all the time. Rav Safra said this, Rav Safra said that. And so therefore, you're arguing that he's not your Rebbe. I'm telling you he's your Rebbe. You're right. Unbeknownst to you, he's your Rebbe. So Savor, okay. So he gave the Chachamim Moser. They should have done Kriya. So Savor, Ma Dahava Hava. So okay, the Chachamim said, good, we hear the Moser, but we're not going to be doing Kriya now because at this point in time, it's too late. So Amalu Abai Tanina Chacham Kozman Shoskim Behesped Chayav Likroa. So Abai says, no, look, as far as the Chacham is concerned, so as long as you are involved in the Hespedim, as long as we're still eulogizing, so there's an obligation to do Kriya. So in other words, it's still a Zman Chiyuv. You should still be doing Kriya. So Savla Mikri La'alter. Okay, good. So the Chacham thought, okay, so let's do Kriya right now. So Amalu Abai Tanya Chacham Kvoda Behespedim. As far as Kavod is concerned, so we should be maspid him. In other words, the first thing we should do is we should first eulogize him because that's really the Kavod. And then at the end of the Hesped, we'll do the Kriya. But in other words, the first things first is that we should give him a proper Hesped. Okay. So that was one episode regarding the death of Rav Safra and the Chachamim's failure to do Kriya. And Abaye reprimanded them, gave them tochacha in terms of that was not the proper context. The proper context is you should be doing Kriya. Ki nach nafshei de Rav Huna. Rav Huna passes away. Savar lo svui sefer Torah apurye. So, again, the Talmidim had different ideas in terms of what's the proper way to give the proper kavod, especially to a Talmid Chacham, the likes of Rav Huna. So they figured, so what we'll do is we'll take a sefer Torah, we'll put it apurye, we'll put it on the same on the same bench or coffin that he's on right now. We'll put it on the Aron. So Amrlu Rav Chista says no. That's perfectly improper. So Milsa de Bechaylo Svir Le Hashta Lekum Leavid Le. So what are you going to do? If he were alive right now, you wouldn't do that. Meaning you wouldn't have him seat on something which also his on the same bench that he's sitting on while he's alive. So you're not going to do that at the funeral as well. The Amrav Tachlif Anachazis Rav Huna de Bay Lemesav Apurye Vahavamanach Sefer Torah Leha. In fact, Rav Tachlifa tells the following story. We saw Rav Huna while he was alive, and he wanted to sit on a bed, and it happened to be that there was already a Sefer Torah on it as well. So what they did is that Rav Huna took a kad, he took some sort of jug, turned it upside down in order to put the Sefer Torah on the jug, so as that Rav Huna will not be sitting on the same bench as the Sefer Torah. So it happens to be that we have an episode where he wouldn't be doing that while he's alive. It's not proper cover to Sefer Torah, where you're going to be sitting on the same bench as the Sefer Torah, right? If you're nowadays most of us are sitting on chairs, on individual chairs, but if you're on a bench and there's a Sefer Torah there, there's a Chumash there, so it's just absolutely not proper to go ahead and sit. You got to take the Chumash off the bench. So over here, so he wouldn't do that while he was alive. Amakasavar, Asul Sheva Gabi Mita Sheh Sefer Torah Munach Aleha. So it's an issur to do so. It's a lack of proper cover for the Sefer Torah. So over here, you want to do it now while he passed away. So if you're not going to do that while he's alive, you're not going to do that while he passed away as well. The idea is right. Well, that's exactly the point. I mean, that was ultimately their point. I mean, in terms of their havamina, So the Havamina was is that he embodies the Sefer Torah. He represented the Sefer Torah. So putting him on the same level as the Sefer Torah is basically a way of showing people that he embodied that. That's the that was the Havamina. But of course, the Maskan is like what you're saying. Meaning, if he's not going to do that while he was alive, he's certainly not going to do that for him post-mortem.
It's interesting that the Atamah Kochim is compared to a living Sefer
Torah. Yeah. So, Lahav and Avik Purim Mebava. Now, the story over here gets a little bit strange because as they, he died in a house and they put him on a particular, now I'm going to say it's a coffin. It's probably not accurate in terms of me describing it. Right, it could be a bed, whatever the case was, whatever they put him on, so it didn't fit through the door in terms of getting him out. So he and that bed, for whatever reason. So several shoshul derech gagan. So the Gemara says, okay, so we can't get him out through the regular doorway, so we'll just simply we'll move him out derech gagan. Somehow we'll lift it up and we'll move him out through some sort of window in the rooftop. So amalu rav chista ha gamrinamine chacham kvoda derech pesach. So once again, Rav Chista there, and Rav Chista says, no, that's not Derech Kavod. That's not the way to do it in an honorific manner, but rather the way to do it properly is to walk him out through the door. So, Savra Lishnoi Emi Puri Lepuri. So the Gemara says, okay, but obviously we're still stuck with the same problem, and that is that right now the current bed that he's lying on is too wide. So let's transfer him from one bed to another. So Amalu Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, that's also not Kavod. Hachi Gamirna Mine, we learn from him, and that is, that chacham kvoda b'mita rishona, that the proper kavod is mita rishona. In other words, the first bed that he lied in, and that's why I use the word bed. I'm not sure. I'm hesitant to say that I'm right about it. I'm not sure if the word bed over here is a really good description. It could be referring to an aron, some sort of coffin. But anyway, mita rishona. In other words, it's proper to take him out in the original bed. Dam Rav Yehuda Amarav, minayin l'chachm kvoda b'mita rishona. How do I know that proper kavod is mita rishona shenemar? Vayar kivu es aron alakim el agalach hadasha. So the when the plisha made the aron for the aron. So when David brought it out, so agalach hadasha. So it was on the original agala. So the really, it's not proper. Now, that's a reference to the Aron. This is a reference to a mace, but the basic idea, and that is that proper covenant is that you keep him in that original Aron. So, Paras Baba Vafkua. So, the only thing left in terms of their solution, they couldn't lift him out via the roof. They couldn't, transfer him to another bed. So what they did is they expanded the door. It meant they had to break down the door and expand it, but that's the only way, in order to resolve this issue. Okay, we're not done. We're going to be continuing now for a good amount of time in terms of Rav Huna and his burial. So we so far saw the death of Rav Huna, the removal of Rav Huna from the remains of Rav Huna from the home, and Pasach Ale Rabbi Abba. We're now moving to the Hesped. So we're at the burial and we're moving to the Hesped of Rav Huna. So Rabbi Abba opened up with a hesped, Rai Haya Rabinu, Shetishra Lav Shechina, Elo Shebavel Garmala. So Rabbi Abba made the following comment regarding Rav Huna. He should have had Hashras Shechina. He should have had some sort of prophetic power, prophetic ability. However, he lived in Bavel. And so in Bavel, there's no Shechina in Bavel. So as a result of that, so he didn't receive the Nevuah. But the truth of the matter is he was somebody who was worthy of it. So Mezer Rav Nachman Baruch Chista. So things you don't do at a eulogy. This is, I would call this self-evident, but we have a Gemara to make sure that we get this point really, really clear. And that is don't ask kashas at a eulogy. In other words, they're eulogizing a person. They're saying wonderful things about the person. And now what do you want to do? You want to be a little bit cynical. You want to, even if it's a good question, but obviously things you don't do. So Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista says V'amela Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista in various nuschos in terms of who is the one who asked the question, but he asked the following question from the very beginning of Sefer Yecheskel. In the first parak, Hayo Hayadvar Hashem El Yecheskel Ben Buzi HaKohen Beretz Kasdim. So Yecheskel, where was he situated? In Eretz Kasdim, that's outside of Eretz Yisrael. And what happened? So he had a Dvar Hashem. He had Nevuah. Okay, so you're telling me that you can't have Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. I'm opening up the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel. You can have Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so I understand it. We all get it. It was not the proper way to behave, to conduct yourself at a eulogy. Maybe afterwards go over and speak it out with him, but certainly not b'shas hespeid. Anyway, tafakle avua b'sandale. So Rav Chista, this was now the son of Rav Chista who made this comment. So Rav Chista took out his sandal and he whacked him. He whacked his kid. So, okay. In other words, he had to teach him the proper way to conduct himself. So don't bother everybody. Meaning now's not the time to ask questions. So, my hayo, shehayakvar. And as far as the pasuk and Yecheskel are concerned, so he says, I'll give you a pshat. Right? Hayo is shehayakvar. What does that mean? What's Rav Chista trying to explain? So Rashi over here offers two explanations. Rashi, shehayakvar, klomar, hayishaita, hava v'lo yoser. Meaning, Yecheskel received the nevuah at that point in time, but never to be repeated again. Okay, it was a special dispensation, and it was only at one time offering, in which somebody can get nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's one possibility. Rashi also offers another pshat as well, v'yesh amrim, shayakvar be'eretz Yisrael, shasharta lav ruach ha-kodesh. Or maybe another pshat says, Rashi, is that at one point in time, Yecheskel was in Eretz Yisrael, he started the nevuah, and Eretz Yisrael, and then Hamshach. It continued in Bavel. That's another possible pshat. Anyway, what Rav Chista did is he answered up the question. But again, the basic point is you should not have asked the question to begin with. That's not the proper behavior at a hesped. Ki askula hasam. Now we're back to Rav Huna. And now they're taking Rav Huna and they're bringing him now to Eretz Yisrael. So the like many people, like Minog in many, many communities and many families, and that is that you bury in Eretz Yisrael. So over here, so Rav Huna lived in Bavel, but after his passing, so they buried him in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, yes, Gula awesome. So they brought him now up to Eretz Yisrael. Amalei l'Rabbi, Amalei l'Rabbi Asi, Rav Huna Asi. So information gets over to Rabbi Amin Rav Asi. Now the information went first presented to Rabbi Amin Rav Asi, Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. So they said Rav Huna's coming. So, but they're not hearing, in other words, as far as the information goes, they're not hearing that it's the remains of Rav Huna that's coming, but rather just simply Rav Huna's coming. So they hear this information, and so they think that Rav Huna's coming, quite understandably. So Amru Kiavin and Hasam, so they're now panicking, because they're remembering to themselves that when we were there in Eretz Yisrael, La'avalan L'dul Yeresh Aminei, we couldn't even lift up our heads. Meaning he was such an awesome Talmid Chacham. When I say awesome, meaning awe-inspiring. So there was so much awe in his shiur, we couldn't even raise our heads up. Our heads were down, and we were terrified, absolutely terrified. So, lo havan lan leduli reshimine hasha asin and hacha asa basrein. And now he's going to come here, and he's coming after us. So, amru lehu. So they were told the following. In other words, so again, they thought that Rav Huna was actually coming, meaning Rav Huna, who was alive. So they got a clarification. So they were told, arono ba. No, you misunderstood. It's not Rav Huna's coming, but it's the remains of Rav Huna that's coming. It's his Aron. Rabbi Ami Rav Asi Nafok. Rabbi Lav Rav Chanin Alo Nafok. So, to go out now to escort the mace. So it's proper. It's called Levayas HaMace, to escort the mace over to his final rest. So okay, Rabbi Ami Rav Asi did exactly that. So, as Rav Huna's Aron is being escorted to his Makom Menucha, so he's being escorted by Rabbi Amin Rav Asi, but it is a little bit strange, as the Gemara tells us, that Rabbi Lan Rav Chanina, two other Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, so they didn't escort. So Ika de Amre, Rabbi Ila Nafak, Rabbi Chanina lo Nafak. Now in a slightly different version, so Rabbi Ila did go out to escort, but Rabbi Chanina did not. Anyway, de Nafak my time. So whoever was on this side of escorting escorted whoever wasn't did not. Obviously an explanation is needed. Why didn't some Amoraim escort? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So the nafak my time is the Tanya. I run over mimakum lamakum omdim alav b'shura v'omrim alav birchos avelim v'tanchum avelim. So as far as those who escorted, so their position is not only defensible, but it seems like it's absolutely correct. So when someone's being escorted, so you are going to be standing in a row to do nechama and birchos avelim tanchum avelim. Meaning you should be part of the funeral procession. Okay, so it makes sense for those who participated. Delo nafak my time, for those who did not escort the Aron of Rav Huna, what was their thought process? The Tanya. Aron over mi makom makom ein omdim alav b'shura ve'in omrim alav birchos avelim v'tanchumei avelim. So they have another braisa. And the other braisa says that when someone's being transported from one place to another place, so you don't escort. And you don't do any of the nihuge avelos. Okay, so all this results in basically, it's a question. Meaning we have one braisa that says that you should be escorting, we have another braisa that says that you should not be escorting, and obviously all that's confusing, and kashin adadi. The Gemara makes exactly that point. Well, that's difficult. So lo kasha kan sheshildo kayemis kan b'she'ein sheldo kayemis. So the distinction to be made is whether or not the remains are still somewhat intact. Now, I'd love to help us all out understand this a little bit better, both in terms of svara and in terms of just what does that mean? Meaning, obviously, decomposition starts pretty closely after death. And so as long as shildo kayemis, as long as the remains are still somewhat intact, so what exactly does that mean? I don't know. Why does it make a difference? There, too, I also don't know. Okay, so a lot I can't help you with in terms of, but in terms of a yishuv between the two brisas. So if shildo kayemis, so then there's a mitzvah of levaya. If shildo is eno kayemis, so there's no longer a mitzvah of levaya. So v'rav huna shildo kayemis ava, udelo nafik lo seimu kameh. Now, as far as Rav Huna is concerned, so the remains were still somewhat intact. And so for the people escorting him, so they did right. And for the people who didn't escort him, lo seimu kameh, meaning they didn't know. In other words, they just assumed, maybe, I'm guessing, I don't know if I'm right, but maybe because there was a lengthy period of time in which, between the death and this day in which he was being escorted, I don't know, maybe the troop was very long, maybe b'derech hateva, I'm guessing, I really don't know. Maybe b'derech hateva, there should have already been decomposition at this point in time. Rav Huna was such a tzaddik that his decomposition went at a slower rate. I'm throwing ideas out there. I honestly don't know. What the Gemara tells us is that for those who didn't escort, so they just simply didn't know. They thought that at this point in time that there was full decomposition, and so therefore there was no need to escort. Amre, hecha ninche. Okay, we're up to the next step. So far we went over by Rav Huna, we went over his death, we went over his removal from his house, we went over the eulogy of Rav Huna, we went over him being escorted to his final resting spot in Eretz Yisrael, and now we're talking about the actual burial in Eretz Yisrael. So hecha ninche, so where should we bury him? So they want to bury him in a place which is going to provide for him the cover that he deserves, meaning amongst other Talmidei Chachamim. So hecha ninche, so Rav Huna ribeis Torah b'Yisrael, and Rabbi Chiya ribeis Torah b'Yisrael hava. So we know the following. We know that Rav Huna was a marbitz Torah, so he broadcast the Torah to the public, and so did Rav Chista. Sorry. And so did Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, obviously, of Eretz Yisrael. So, I think we have a shidduch. So we should bury Rav Huna next to Rabbi Chiya. So, man ma'ayol lei. So who's going to bring him in? Amar lei Rav, amar lehu Rav Chaga, ana ma'ilna lei. So Rabbi Chaga volunteers to go ahead and to bring the Aron in. So I'm imagining right now, I'm visualizing a kever, a cave. And so over here in the cave that he's being buried, so Rabbi Chaga is already in that cave, and so now they're going to be bringing Rav Huna into the said cave. And Rabbi Chaga is the one now who's volunteering to do so. So de ukmite la tamud de keavina bar tamne sreishnin, v'lo chazilei keri. Now as far as his credentials, his CV, in terms of being the one that is worthy to bring Rav Huna in. So he says, look, I was learning Torah by 18 years of age, and I wasn't a Baal Keri. And he was learning Torah by 18 years of age, so okay, anyway, Rashi over here doesn't say it, but presumably,
what does that mean?
Yeah, so presumably what it means is that he didn't get married right away, meaning he was totally committed to learning of Torah, and despite the fact that he wasn't married, so, but still, his preoccupation with Torah was so intense that he didn't become a Baal Keri. He didn't have any kind of seminal discharge. Okay, so anyway, so he felt that he was on a certain level in which he could go ahead and take Rav Huna into the cave. Okay, so Kamaviyada, I'm sorry. Do kimta le tamudik evan bar tamne sre shnin velo chazi le keri. Mashma le kamaviyada be uvde. And furthermore, I was also a shamash for Rav Huna. So, and I know Uvde. I know his Masim Tovim. Basically, like, I have really, really strong connections to Rav Huna. I should be the one bearing him. And now I'll just tell you one quick story, he says, regarding Rav Huna. And that is that at one point in time, his tefillin turned inside out. Meaning that for most of our history, so the way tefillin operate is that one side is black and the other side is not black, right? It's left undyed. Modern phenomena, it started like last 10 years. So a modern phenomena is that they take the tefillin and they make both sides black, the inside and the outside. Okay. Whether that's appropriate, not appropriate, I'll let your rabbanim decide. But anyway, so you had a black side and a non-black side, and obviously the black side should be the one presenting to people, and the non-black side should be the ones facing your body. So what happened at one point in time is while Rav Huna was wearing tefillin, so the non-black side inverted and it was exposed to other people, and he was embarrassed. And so what he did is he fasted for 40 days. As a result of that, he was operating on that kind of level. Okay, that's a high level. And this Talmud, Rabbi Chaga, says, I know him and I know the kind of person that he was and the kind of level that he was. As a result of that, I'm going to escort him in. I lay. So now Rabbi Chaga is taking the Aron into the Ma'ara, into the cave, in order to bury Rav Huna next to Rabbi Chia. Hava gan Yehuda mi'imena davo v'chizkia mismalei. And now Rabbi Chia was flanked by his two sons. So Yehuda was on his right, and Chizkiah was on his left. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be a real challenge to bury Rav Huna next to Rabbi Chia, as Rabbi Chia was already surrounded by his sons, who are, just to be clear, they were also buried at that point in time, meaning everybody over here is deceased. Amar le Yehuda le Chizkiah. So Yehuda says the following to Chizkiah. So over here now we get to the part of the Maisa where obviously we're not going to be operating in the Derech HaTeva, in the normal, natural way, meaning this is not usually how things go, where one mace is going to be conversing with another mace. So I understand, I'm just acknowledging. But again, we're talking about Amarayim, Tzadikim, and so we're going to be operating a little bit above the normal levels of what we consider to be natural. So Yehuda says to Chizkiah, Kum miduchtech v'dalav arechara dekaim Rav Huna. So Chizkiah says to, I'm sorry, other way around. Yehuda says to Chizkiah, okay, so what you need to do is you need to get up, you need to move. Okay, not clear exactly why Yehuda felt comfortable telling Chizkiah to move out of his location. In other words, obviously there are a number of details over here that need more investigation and a little more explanation. But regardless, the point, of course, over here is that Yehuda is saying, make way for Rav Huna. Right? Rav Huna is coming in, the Aron of Rav Huna is coming in, and it is proper that Rav Huna should be lying alongside our father. So you're gonna make some room. So Behadi Dekaim, so now as Chizkiah is getting up and moving from his location. So Kambade Amud Adonura. So fire also breaks out at that point in time. Okay, we are now operating on a different level over here. So as a response to Chizkiah having to actually now move locations, so a pillar of fire. Chazei Rav Chaga Ibai. So Rav Chaga sees this, and it goes without saying that he was terrified. So Zakfei Laron Einafakasa. So what he does is he throws the Aron and he leaves. V'hai Delo I Anish, and the fact that he wasn't burned in the fire. Mishim Dezakfei Laron Ader Rav Huna is because he was successful in throwing the Aron of Rav Huna. As a result of that, he wasn't burned in the fire. Okay. I wish I could be a little bit more helpful in terms of both describing the scene and in understanding what is happening over there. Admittedly, this is a little bit above my pay grade in terms of understanding, but okay. I got the basic idea in terms of proper kavod, where a person should be buried, a kavod given to a person. The people responsible for the burial should be people who knew the person, who understood the kind of level he was operating on, etc., etc. Kinach nafshed Rav Chisda. We now turn our attention to the death of Rav Chisda. So, Savra Suve Sefer Torah Apurye. So, once again, the same mistake that we made with Rav Huna. So, they're making again with Rav Chisda. They want to take a Sefer Torah and put it on his Aron. So, Amalu Rabbi Yitzchak Milsa de la Rabbe Lo Svirle Ananekum Navile. So, we didn't even do it for his Rebbe, meaning Rav Huna Rav Huna wouldn't, we wouldn't do this for. Now you want to do it for Rav Chista? So obviously they rejected that idea out of hand. When I say they rejected it out of hand, they did at least suggest it, but quickly rejected. So Savar Delo Lemishla Karayu. So they thought at that point in time that the Talmidim who did Kriya, we learned at the top of the Amud that for a Talmid Chacham. So all the Talmidim are going to be doing Kriya, so they did Kriya. So at that point in time, they thought, okay, we're not going to stitch it up. So Amalu Rabbi Yitzchak Barami Chacham Kevichachzir Panei Machare Amita Sholalin. So as opposed to a father or mother where there you do not stitch it up or for a Talmid Chacham. So once you pass the Aron, meaning once you are done giving the proper respects for the Aron and you're moving on, so you could already stitch it up at that point in time. So at the death of Rav Baravuna and Rav Hamnuna, so what they did is that they brought the Aronos of these two tzaddikim up to Eretz Yisrael. Ki matu agishra. And so here now we have the Aronos of these two tzaddikim being transported at the same time, but now they get to a geshra, they get to a passage, a bridge, but it's really narrow and only one can go at a time. And so the standard debate now in terms of who's going to go first, who's going to pass over the bridge first, but again, we're talking now post-mortem, and it certainly sounds like from our Gemara that there still is protocol in terms of who should go first, even though we're talking not about them being alive, but even though we're just talking about the remains. So Kimato Geshra, so they get to the bridge, and Kamu Gamlein, and the Gamalim stop, and the Gamalim would not go. In other words, the Gamalim understood that there is a fight now that's ensuing in terms of who should go first. So Amar Luhu Autaya. So there happens to be that the driver was an Arab, and my high, and he didn't understand what was going on over here. He wanted clarification. So Amrulei Rabbanan Tika Abdu Yikari Adade. So they explained to the Arab, what's happening over here is that the Chachamim are trying to defer, and each one of them is providing cover to the next person. Meaning, Mar Amar Marne El Beresha, Mar Amar Marne El Beresha. Basically what's happening is that each one of the Talmid Chachamim now is trying to defer and give cover to the other Talmid Chacham. Again, this is operating on a different level, where they were talking about where they're no longer here, but they're still here. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that they haven't been buried yet, so their presence is being felt, and in their presence, so each one of them is trying to give cover to the other. Amar dinahu derava barvahuna leil bereisha. So now the Arab paskins. Okay, now did he have a right to paskin? The answer is no. Should he have paskined? So I'm only saying this because I know where the story is going. So the answer is no. He shouldn't have. So, but he paskened. And the Arab said that the Rabbi Baravuna, for whatever reason, the Arab felt this way. So he said that Rabbi Baravuna should go first. So Chalif Gamli the Rabbi Baravuna. So Rabbi Baravuna went over the bridge first. And Natur Kache Vishine Dautaya. What happened was is that the teeth and the jaw of this Arab fell out of his mouth, meaning he was punishment of Shamayim for not giving the other Talmid Chacham the proper cover that he deserved. And so he paskened and he shouldn't have paskened. What should have been the solution at that point in time? So I don't know. I'm not going to be at liberty to suggest that I know what the solution was, but the Arab going and giving the advice and paskening, that was also inappropriate.
Abu Barab, he has his father's name, and Rav Hamnuna didn't write the father's
name. Okay, it could be. Pasach Aleahu Yanuka. So we're now at the Hespaid, and so they're being maspid. So Geza Yishishim. So here a little bit of Hespaidim. So in this Hespaid, they talked about the trunk, right? The trunk of Gedolim. Alami Bavel v'Imo Sefer Mechamos. So he comes up from Bavel together with Sefer Mechamos, meaning a Sefer Torah, meaning that's a reference to Rav Hamnuna. So Kaas v'Kipud Huchpulum. So as a result of their demise, because they're no longer here, so now Klala is going to come to the world. Liros Bishod Vishever Haba Mishin Ar. So Rabbi Bravuna Rav Hamnuna, who died in Bavel, so Katsav Alama V'chamas Mimenu Nefashos. So what's going to happen now is that for those who remain, Akash Baruch Hu is going to be upset with those that remain. No longer going to be afforded the protection given by these Gedolim. So Samech Behem Kekala Chadasha V'rochev Aravos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is going to rejoice Now having the tzaddikim together with him. Sasra v'samech bevo, a love nefesh naki v'tzaddik. Somebody who's so pure now is going to be joining HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be happy. So we got to hear a little bit of the hesped. Kinach nafshed Ravina, pasach leo saftana. When Ravina passed away, so the maspid, the eulogizer, said the following. Timarim, a reference to dates, but obviously Tamar is what a tzaddik is compared to. So Timarim, hini rosh al tzaddik Tamar. So all Tamid Chachamim should basically bow their head over the tzaddik that died. Nashim leilos kiyamim, al meisim leilos kiyamim. Nasim leilos kiyamim. So our night should be like days. Al meisim leilos kiyamim. So for somebody who dedicated his nights to learning Torah, meaning every night he dedicated himself to learning Torah, and so we need to give him the proper respect that he deserves. Amalei Rav Ashi lebar kipod. Okay. Rav Ashi asked Bar Kippo the following. So in other words, we just went through the hespedim of various Talmid Chachamim, including and up to we just learned Ravina. And so now Rav Ashi says to Bar Kippo, who is Bar Kippo? Bar Kippo is a safdan. He's a eulogizer, professional eulogizer. So Yuma Mayamart. So he says, do me a favor. What I'd love to hear is a little sneak preview. Meaning do me is right, just give me like a little taste of what you're preparing to say about me after I die. Okay? So Amrlei Amina Imba Arazim Nafla Shal Heves. So here's what I'm prepared to say. You are like cedar and being burned. Maya said a zove kir. So if this is what's gonna happen to the cedar, so what's gonna happen to a zove kir? Like the small little branches. Right? In other words, nobody's got a shot. Liv Yasan Bechakahu Allah. If the Livyasan, right, the large sea animal, so if he's able to be trapped in the hook, so Mayasu Dagerakak. So what do you think the little fish are what hope do they have? Right? Benachoshotef Nafla Chaka, Mayase Megavim. If the major river is going to be able to dry up, so then the little rivers also don't have a fighting chance. So basically, all right, if the Adam Gadol like you is going to die, so the rest of us are really. We don't have a chance. So Amalei Bar Oven. So now Bar Oven says to Bar Kippot. Bar Oven is another eulogizer, and he's hearing now the sneak preview of the eulogy that Bar Kippot is ready to say on behalf of Rav Ashi. And he says Chas V'Shalom Dechaka V'Shal Heves But Tzadika Amina. He says, can I give you some advice over here? In other words, go in a different direction, right? Don't mention hooks and fires regarding a tzaddik. In other words, bad imagery. Try something else out. Umay amart. So what do you think I should say? So Amina, so he says bechula avelim velola aveda. So what you should do is that you should cry, but not cry for the one who died, but rather for those who suffer the loss. Shehaya shehilim nucha and anula nacha. Now he's resting. He's good. We, on the other hand, so we're the ones who are now going to have to deal with the absence and the loss. Chalash daitai alayhu. So when Rav Ashi hears this, so he was very upset. In other words, right? I find myself saying this a little too often, but be careful for what you ask for. Okay. And so what he asked to hear it, but. But meanwhile, so he heard the eulogies of both of these eulogizers, and neither of them made him happy. Okay, exactly what part of it didn't he like? So I'm sure there are many aspects of it which he didn't like. Anyway, he wasn't happy. So he sapach karayu. So what happened was is that these eulogizers, so they were punished, and their feet were inverted. Okay, I don't exactly know what I mean by that, but I do know that they suffered some sort of onesh for not giving the proper eulogy that they needed to do. How yuma lo asalei spude. So, and the actual death of Rav Ashi. So they didn't go and they didn't eulogize. Their feet were inverted. And vahinu dama Rav Ashi. And now a statement made by Rav Ashi where now that we know the story, now we understand the statement of Rav Ashi. What was the statement of Rav Ashi? Lo bar kipot chalitz v'lo bar avin chalitz. Bar kipot and bar avin, so cannot do the mitzvah of chalitza. Now here we're talking about chalitza, meaning not the way we've been discussing it now here in Moed Katan, but rather chalitza in terms of the mitzvah of chalitza, i.e. Yavamos. meaning that in the event that you don't want to do the mitzvah of Yibam, so you have the option of doing chalitza. Part of the mitzvah of chalitza is that a shoe is going to be put on your foot and it's going to be removed by the chalutza, right? That's your sister-in-law. And so over here, in order for that to occur, so the shoe has to fit on your foot. If your foot is deformed, so then so for a technical reason now, you're not going to be doing the mitzvah of chalitza. You can't do this aspect of chalitza. Rav Ashi made a comment. Rav Ashi says, you know, that bar kippon and bar oven, so because of the deformities of their foot, so of their feet, so they can't do the mitzvah of chalitza. Now, out of context, we have no idea what that means, but now that we know the rest of the story in terms of what happened to them, now we understand. Okay. We're going to pause over here, right? I'm looking at the time. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. More hespedim in tomorrow's daf, more agadata coming up in tomorrow's daf, as you can see tomorrow. Okay, we'll do a little bit more regarding Kriya. But anyway, let's just quickly recap. Let's summarize today's daf. The Mishnah, we only did one really short Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Dal Amud Beis, and the Mishnah says that in Anchol HaMoed, so Kriya Chalitza, Chalitza over here, right, not to be confused, because we just did Chalitza vis-a-vis Yibum. Chalitza over here, the bearing of a shoulder. Kriya Chalitza Havra'a Anchol HaMoed can only be done by Krovei Hames, only by the relatives and nobody else. And also because it's Chol HaMoed, Anamita Zekrufa, on a bed that is turned upright, meaning not on an upside down bed, not on the floor. Okay, what did we learn together in the Gemara in the beginning of today's daf? Is that the mitzvah of Kriya, generally speaking, is done by many more people other than the family. In other words, for a Talmud Chacham, you'll have everyone do it. Even for an Adam Kasher, you'll have everybody do it. Even if it's not an Adam Kasher, but you're there, you'd see it's Neshama, so you have a Chiyuv of Kriya. So what we learned together is that Kriya is going to be well beyond just the family members. Our Mishnah? Okay, so our Mishnah is not talking about a Talmud Chacham, not talking about an Adam Kasher, and you weren't there at the time of Yitzias Neshama. Okay, and as far as the rest of the daf is concerned, so Maisa Tzadikim, we learned about episodes and incidents regarding Tzadikim, their death, their burial, their eulogy. We spent most of the daf today discussing Rav Huna. The death of Rav Huna, his tape being taken out of the house in the original Aron that he was laid to rest in. His travels, the traveling of the Aron to Eretz Yisrael, the Levaya that's done by the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, the Hespedim that were done, his burial in the cave, all that was most of today's daf. And then we discussed other Hespedim of other Tzaddikim as well, and tomorrow we continue along these lines.